Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Oh, how did he get in?
He walked in. Alonzo Highsmith's going to be joining us here in the next segment just to hang out and talk a little football. And we'll get his thoughts.
We'll get his thoughts on
17 games and 17 game records that are going to be broken. And we'll see.
By the way, you know, only TJ Watt.
By the way,
greatest Watt when it's all said and done. TJ, JJ, or Derek. I guess I got to put him in. Maybe Derek Watt.
You think TJ's though? I don't know. I think JJ is going to be still the best. How many defensive players a year is going to be for him? Is he number two?
Will this be number two? JJ had three.
Three. Yeah. Well,
next year, you know who the favorite is next year? Clowney.
That's not going to be Clowney.
You don't know. This could be the year it finally clicks.
Why are you so short today?
Every year, because he's got the little seat. Every year, Clowney, it's the next year. I know. Every year is the next big, like, this is the year that Clowney breaks out.
So should it be, TJ Watt is going to break the record.
Zoe is Alonzo Highsmith.
Alonzo Highsmith, former Oiler and Cowboy for you idiot Cowboy fans out there.
Wasn't very good as a Cowboy.
And the U. And so Strahan this morning was kind of poo-pooing T.J. Watt.
Why?
Getting the record because he's got 17 games and Strahan only had 16.
But then John brought up
a little side note.
But he did it in 16 games.
Yeah. But T.J.'s only actually played 14 games.
Exactly.
So, but.
I don't know. Protecting
what
do your record.
What do you think of the 17th game, though? Why do we need it?
You know what? It's weird. I don't know. It's really hard to explain. Football's the most popular televised sport in America.
Not even close.
It's got a great following. You know what? I don't know why we play 17 games.
Because more money. That's
all.
There's no other reason, I guess. What? Yeah. I mean, it's a war of attrition. The sport is a war of attrition anyway. You just try to be as healthy as you can throughout the season. You've thrown COVID in, which has made it even more difficult to have your best players on the field all the time. I don't think it has served any purpose this year, other than statistically it's going to alter maybe some potential
more
records.
Money. Yeah.
The interesting thing is if you go to 18 games, I don't know if you're going to have enough players.
Yeah.
Left by
roster has to
expand. Your roster has to expand and stuff like that. But I will say this. People enjoy watching football. And it's a viewership thing. So I think it's a good thing having another game.
Do you think that one of the good things that has come out of the NFL's need to change some of their protocols because of COVID? I kind of like what's going on, me personally, but you're actually the guy to talk about practice squad, how veterans can hit it and how they've changed the rules completely. Yeah. I kind of like the fact that it's more wide open. Like your practice squad is more wide open. It's not a look. You don't really develop players off the practice squad anyway. That should be for a developmental league like the XFL in a perfect world. I kind of like what they've done with that.
I really like that as well. I like the fact that you can have some guys who have been in the league 6-7 years who know how to play the game, and they can go on your practice squad. And as we've seen with this COVID thing, they're needed. Uh-huh. You know, injuries happen, and then you've had COVID. So you've been able to put some players out there who have played the game.
They're not just street free agents.
You're not taking a kid from Idaho who's on your practice squad and throwing him in the game against T.J. Watt. You know,
right.
Yeah. Like that. You're getting a guy that's played against high level of competition, who's been around the game, who understands the game, and he's not all bright eyed on game day because it's his first pro football game. So that's been a positive. To me.
All right, taking a break. 812-0. Alonzo Highsmith is with us in studio just to hang to talk some football here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So don't you go anywhere. All right, Alonzo Highsmith in studio. You got a question for him? You're more than welcome.
You almost said Alonzo Spellman.
Alonzo, no.
You said Alonzo
Spellman. No.
No.
Not like Alonzo Spellman at all. 713-780-3776. We were talking about Aaron Rodgers. You were with the Packers for how long?
19 years.
19 years with the Packers. You saw him grow up in the organization. He's unbelievable. Probably maybe the most talented quarterback that we've ever seen in the NFL.
I don't know.
Who's second?
I don't know who's second. Yeah. You know, I mean, pure talent just throwing the football. It's amazing. You know, the most amazing thing about him is I'll never forget the day we were watching practice one day. They kind of knew that it was his time. You know, you're standing in the back watching 7-on-7, and you've seen, you can't really see over all the players, but you can see the velocity of the ball. You're going, man, Brett's got some good zip on the ball today. He's really humming in. And they're like, no, that's Aaron. You're like, holy, that's Aaron throwing like that? And I think Aaron had the opportunity to watch Brett Favre for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you watch one of the greatest quarterbacks in pro football history, an improviser in the pocket, but a guy who also threw interceptions.
Yeah.
And I think Aaron watched that. And through his maturation and growing, he learned the game. And he said to himself in his mind, I'm not going to throw the ball away like Brett did sometimes.
Right.
So I think Aaron was able to take everything in watching one of the greatest do it. But he also had the talent, you know. And when it became his opportunity and his time to start, he was able to take it to a new level. It's almost like a game to him. I don't want to throw turnovers. You know, I want to try and go 31 or 35, four touchdowns with no turnovers. I want to go through I think Aaron would love to go through a whole season with no turnovers.
He almost did. I mean, he's ridiculous how good he is protecting the ball. Now, so he's got a year left on his deal. Mm-hmm. He's going to, I mean, so valuable. Teams will give up what for him? I mean, at 38 years old, he's still got at least 5 good years left in him.
Yeah.
If you can get him signed to an extension, if you're a team that trades for him, he's got 1 year left. What would you do if you're Ron? What would Ron Wolf do in this situation? He wants out of Green Bay.
He wouldn't be leaving.
No. Then he plays his last year there next year, and then he walks, and you get nothing.
Well, I don't. At the end of the day, if the Packers go to the Super Bowl and win, I don't think Aaron's leaving. I might be wrong, but I think one of the things that happened this year, I call it the Tom Brady effect. Everybody saw what Tom Brady did at New England. I think Tom wanted a voice. Tom wanted to be heard. And it was always as the chicken before the egg, Belichick or Tom Brady. And I think Tom wanted to go somewhere where he had a voice where they said, okay, what do you think, Tom? So I think that worked. And I think all these other quarterbacks are seeing that now, are looking at Tom Brady, and they're going, you know what? I need a voice too. So now I call it the Tom Brady effect. And I think Aaron made his point in Green Bay.
Aaron has a voice there.
Exactly.
Yeah, more so.
Aaron's got a voice here in Green Bay. I think he made his point about how important he is to the team and to the organization. And to Packer Nation. So I think at the end of the day, I think they'll give Aaron an extension and make him the highest paid quarterback in the history of football. And he'll end his whole career in Green Bay.
John, he has 14 years as a starter. How many of those years has he had double-digit interceptions?
Zero.
Wrong.
How many?
Two? That's it. The last time it happened was 2010. He had 28 touchdowns, 11 interceptions.
2010 is a long time ago.
2008 was his first year as a full-time starter. He had 28 touchdowns and 13 interceptions. What is a little bit strange, and this is why people are going to kind of rewrite history, you know, it wasn't crazy to draft Jordan Love when they did. I didn't love it because Jordan Love, you know, I had questions about him as a prospect, but I understood it because Aaron previously he was hurt in 2017. In 2018, he had 25 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. 2019, 26 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, which are good, but the completion percentage was down to 62% in both of those years. He's been incredible the last 2 years after they drafted Jordan Love. And frankly, that gets played a lot, but really I think it was the fact that Matt LaFleur runs a good offense and is a really good coach. He is really taken to and you know the guy that a lot of us pointed to, like, why would you draft AJ Dillon? Well, AJ Dillon's, you know, seemed like an FU pick to Aaron Rodgers because they needed run support, and he's a an outside zone type of, you know, he's a one cut back, even for being a big guy. He's kind of one cut back, not an offset back. And so I felt like, well, this isn't a move for Aaron Rodgers, but you know what? It's a move that's good for the team. And oh, what do you know? Once again, you can do what's best for a team and still do what's best for an individual player.
Yeah. You know what? I think when you look at that, I know if you were in the Ron Wolf system of doing things for a long time, you always draft a quarterback. When there's a quarterback available.
In the first? I know they did that with Aaron Rodgers. Well, Aaron Rodgers should have been the number one overall pick that year.
If there's a quarterback you think that's worthy of being there, number one or number two or second round pick, third round, wherever it is, you take a quarterback. Because you don't want to be in a situation, like I'll give you an example.
Rather too many than too few?
Exactly. Okay. I'll give you a perfect example. You've got Aaron Rodgers. You're 7-1. He gets hurt. I think Green Bay's been in that situation where the season's over because the other quarterback isn't good enough. So now you get a guy, you draft high, you've developed for a year or two. Now if Aaron gets hurt or something happens, you've got a guy that can come in, win games for you until Aaron comes back and the season's not lost. I mean, those are some of the ideas you thought. I mean, there was a time when Ron Wolf had Brett Favre. Who did he draft? Hasselbeck. He had Brunel.
And then he drafted Aaron Brooks.
Yeah. I mean, he Ron believed that you never have enough quarterback, and you'll use some of them as trade bait. You know, you'll trade one or two of them down the road, and you know, so you do what's good for the team. Sometimes it doesn't look that way on the outside, but you're doing something that's good for the team.
Yeah,
you don't want to be 12-1, and you got two games to win for the
But it's an ego-based business.
No, it's an ego-based business.
That's where I think they probably got sideways.
Brett Favre, listen, you were there.
No.
Was Brett Favre happy about Aaron
Rodgers? No. And you know what's weird? They all say, I won't be like that one day.
I know.
Aaron was like that with Jordan Love.
I was just like first time in locker rooms. I was doing stuff. My very first gig to do anything on radio was I was getting sound for Nashville because the Houston Oilers were going to go to Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So I would go into the locker rooms. Well, this is when they drafted Steve McNair, and Chris Chandler couldn't have been a bigger ass to Steve McNair. Couldn't have been a bigger ass. Wouldn't help him, looked at him as the competition. And I get it. I mean, I thought it's not a good teammate. There's no question. But you're also protective of your paycheck. Yeah, I mean, in reality, it's your paycheck.
And Chandler was like that with Manny Testaverde.
Oh, was he really?
Tampa. So I was there, and that was a very precarious situation. And, you know, Chandler's an old grumpy, you know, I want to be the starter type guy. And Vinny was the young guy that, you know, so, and they hadn't had some success in Green Bay. Then they brought Chandler in. You know, a guy like Fitzpatrick comes in as a veteran and says, hey, I'm going to help the young guy. I'm going to help make him better.
Right.
And bide my time. And whatever they ask me to do, I'm going to do. But some guys aren't like that. And, you know, everyone's wired different.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting question. Here, you want this? Yeah.
Switch mics.
Use this one.
Flip that on, John. There we go.
There it is. Here's an interesting question. Please ask Zoe, as a former professional athlete, now a front office guy, do they talk to the young guys on the team about hoes?
So Art's asking as a joke, but in real life.
I will say this.
Is there training for guys?
I will say this. It's a new world out there compared to when me and you were growing up, John.
Instagram is different?
I tell you what, these guys in this Instagram thing, I used to mess with some of the young guys, and I would say, okay, who you dating this week? He would just go through his Instagram thing, and it's out there. It's another dating platform. It's people meet each other on there's people married because they met on Instagram. So I guess it's just a new way of doing things.
Yeah. Well, and you got to watch.
You got to be careful.
Yeah.
You got to be very careful.
Signed Deshaun. 826 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 or at John Granato at Lance Zierlein. You can ask a question of Zoe on Twitter. not quite like Childish Altuve does, but anything else that you want to ask him, you're more than welcome. 713-780-3776. In the meantime, a little insurance there, Lance.
TGS Insurance makes you gives you a great opportunity to shop with a bunch of A-rated insurance companies with one text, and that text message will net a result within 15 seconds where you'll get a firm quote. Text the word money to 232323. That's 232323. And TGS Insurance is going to get your address, and then they will give you a firm quote. They'll text it back to you on what your homeowner's insurance could be, an A-rated homeowner's insurance with an annual policy. They'll give you the number. You can compare it against what you're paying, and you'll find that the average savings is about $900. So in most cases, you're saving big money when you switch over to a competitive rate. And that's really all you're doing. You're shopping for competitive rates. And people who don't do that end up losing a bunch of money every single year that could be back in their pocket. Don't be that guy. Don't be that woman. Make sure that you're that person that shops your rates, but you do it efficiently by texting the word money to 232323 with TGSinsurance.com.
831 ESPN 975. 713-780-3776. Alonzo Highsmith with us in studio here. There's a story out here, Zoe. Jets rookie, Eccles, he intercepted Tom Brady.
And
Brandon Eccles.
Brandon Eccles from Kentucky.
Yeah, Eccles intercepted Tom Brady. After the game, he walked up to Brady and got it autographed by Brady.
Awesome. On the ball, the game ball.
Dude, 20 years from now, he will tell his grandkids and his kids, hey, you know that Tom Brady, greatest quarterback of all time? I intercepted him, and he signed it for me after the game. Listen, we take things a little too serious in life. I think one of the greatest things you can do as an athlete is be a fan of the game. I was a huge fan of the game. Now, it seems awkward asking some of your peers for an autograph or something like that, but I honestly don't see anything wrong with it. I mean, it's part of the game. If you worked with Tom Cruise and you're another movie star,
yeah,
like, wouldn't you want to take a picture with
the
guy?
Well, I talked to Eric Layton about this, who is an actor who, you know, he's a friend of our show, and he does stuff, but he's not a star. And he said, first of all, when you're at a party and George Clooney walks in or Brad Pitt or Tom Cruise, he said, everything, like, the room changes. You can feel their presence. It's a totally different thing. Let's be honest here. Brandon Eccles, rookie from Kentucky, versus the greatest quarterback of all time. They're not even, it's like they don't even play the same sport right now. They're on different levels.
He probably plays against them on Madden.
Right.
Madden football.
It would have been more weird for Jalen from the Rams. Jalen Ramsey to go ask for an autograph, probably, because as a competitor and a guy who does battle with them.
Big for that. Yeah. So, well, you know what the funniest thing about it? But you also have to have self-awareness, and you got to feel people out. If I had never met John Granato, I would, like, stand around him for, like, 10 minutes and see people asking him, saying hi to him. And I say, he seems like a friendly guy. Let me ask him for an autograph. But if the guy's just a mean son of a gun, and people come up to him and say hi, and he doesn't answer back, and people come up to him and you go, hey, can I get an autograph? He goes, no. Well, I'm not bothering this guy.
Yeah.
It's just a feel for people. And I think it shows Tom Brady's human, and he says, you know, I understand.
Yeah.
No problem.
Well, it is.
He also won.
Yeah.
Don't ask for that autograph.
No. That's called self-awareness.
That's the self-awareness you're talking
Robert
about.
Robert Saleh, the Jets coach, said that was kind of ballsy by the rookie for Eccles to ask Brady to sign the ball he intercepted. It speaks volumes to the character of Brady to sign it.
But it's also something we all wanted to do. But you don't have the balls to go out there and do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you saw Keem Olajuwon or Andre Johnson in the grocery store, you kind of want to go, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
But maybe he would do it.
I actually saw Dream out in Sugar Land at a gas station where I had to leave to go out to a doctor's appointment early from the show. This is several years ago. And I saw him, and I'm like, I was on the phone with John. I called in. I said, hey, I got Dream right here. Do you want me to try to get him on the phone for an interview? John goes, yeah. I said, Dream, I host a radio show. I'm off. Wanted to see if you'd come on. No, I cannot come on right now. Okay, bye. And that was that.
Well, that's kind of like,
I learned my lesson there.
That's different than asking for an autograph. Hey, can you come on a radio show?
Can I hand my phone to Mr. Granato here? No,
that's a little different.
But you know what, though? Some athletes are the most personable, cool guys. I've always admired athletes who took time for the public because I was an autograph seeker as a kid. I was around football my whole life.
Yeah, you know what it means.
And Johnny Rogers. Johnny Rogers left his Heisman Trophy with me for a year.
For what? What?
Yeah, when I was a kid, he played for the Montreal Alouettes. Him and my dad were friends.
Oh, is that right?
And he was going back to Nebraska, and he didn't want to leave because people didn't have alarms in their houses back then. Uh-huh. So he told me, hey, Alonzo, do me a favor. He's like, can you keep the Heisman Trophy? So I kept the Heisman Trophy in my room, and I had my friends come by.
No way.
Yeah. So it was just.
I've never heard this story.
Yeah, so it was. I'm kind of like Forrest Gump. I've been through a lot of things.
You are.
I got another story.
You are. He's the ambassador of the
NFL. I got another story. Yeah. I'm in Montreal, Canada. I'm at a gas station, and this is but some other African Americans. Not a lot of African Americans around, and I asked them. They're talking to me, asking where to go eat. Where to go eat? And I said, my dad's the best cook in town, and you guys should come over to my house.
How old were you?
10 or 12. It was members from KC the Sunshine Band.
No way.
Yeah.
I see, I'm going to do a podcast called 100 Stories with Zoe. I want to see if we can get to, and they don't have to be long ones. It could be stuff like that.
So did you bring them to your house?
They came by. They talked to my dad. And my dad, you know who they are? Like, not really. But the all-time greatest story is the Payne Stewart story.
Oh, that's a great one.
That is.
Well, tell it now.
That's the all-time great where my agent was Robert Fraley.
Uh-huh. Oh, wait, I don't know if I know this one.
Yeah, Robert Fraley was my agent, and I knew nothing about golf, like nothing.
Even though Alonzo Gump actually had caddied.
That's another story. So Robert Fraley tells me, look, you need to come to Orlando. We're going to go over your contract and stuff because you're holding out. Can you do me a favor? He goes, I've got three guys I need you to take out on the golf course. You're going to just drive the cart. I'm like, okay, I got nothing to do. I just had Owlsworth in Orlando. So I see these three hippie-looking guys come up, and I'm just standing there. And a guy goes, hey, I'm Payne. I'm Greg. I'm Lee Jansen. I'm like, okay, whatever.
Norman, Payne Stewart, and Lee Jansen.
Yeah, Lee Jansen. Those were all Robert's clients. So he goes to me, I just want you to drive. I'm thinking they're college kids going like, maybe they want to play golf for college or something like that. So I take them on the course, and they had buckets of balls on the golf course, and they stop and they hit balls. They did that for about 9 holes, and they said, okay, that's good for the day. I'm like, man, you guys are good at this. You know what? I'm going to hook you up with my agent, Robert Fraley. He can help you guys if you want to be pro golfers. They're like, really? And Payne Stewart carried this joke forever. Every time I saw him, he says, oh, I'm making it. I said, well, he goes, thanks for hooking me up with Robert Fraley. I go, I know. I didn't realize who you guys were.
As a Canadian and then, you know, and a football player.
But still the great one is still always canning in the Canadian Open.
Yeah. You got to tell that story. How old were you?
I was about 14. And I used to caddy every summer at a golf course called, he used to play Canadian Open there. And, so I would ride my bike up, and I was a big kid, and I could carry two golf bags.
Yeah.
I'd make about $60 for the day, and at that time that's pretty good riding a BMX dirt bike.
I get up there
one morning on a Thursday morning, and it's crowded as heck, but I know all the guys there because they see me all day every day, so they let me in, and I'm standing around there. This guy named Greg Pulaski, rookie on tour. Something happened to his caddy. He goes, hey, kid, you a caddy? I say, yeah. He goes, caddy for me. I say, okay. I don't know. I was like, sure. I don't even know it's a golf tournament. All I know is there's a ton of people out there, and everyone's interviewing the guy.
You don't even know it's a tournament?
No. So I'm caddying for Greg Pulaski, a rookie on tour, and they're interviewing because he's playing with the big three. Ben Crenshaw, Lee Trevino, and Gary Player. And my God, that's the foursome.
So you got three.
Did you get in anybody's way?
No. Look, Lee Trevino did tell me a few times. He figured out I didn't know what the hell I was doing.
What gave it away?
I don't know.
The 14-year-old black kid in Montreal or
probably
wherever you were?
Probably shorts and see-through shirt.
The mesh shirt.
Yeah. And so they gave me a shirt to wear.
You were Ezekiel Elliott before
Ezekiel
Elliott?
Yeah, so they gave me a shirt to wear. So, but the whole time, Lee Trevino's joking with me. He's got like this rubber snake he throws out there and stuff like that. So there's a rain delay. And so all my friends and people are going, "You seen Izzo?" Like, "No, I think he's up there caddying or something like that."
I think he's up there caddying.
Look on TV. There's a rain delay. Me and Lee Trevino and Crenshaw are talking about football. Long story short, my guy didn't make it.
He didn't make the cut?
He didn't make the cut. Gave me $120.
No kidding.
I was like,
whoa. Woo. This is way better than the $60.
It was donuts and pinball machines.
That's all it was.
Day. It's all day. So that's just one of those things. One of those things in my life.
Alonzo Gump. He's
always
somewhere. Hey, kid, you want a caddy?
That was like five stories in Gary, 6 minutes. It's better than anything I got.
Lee Trevino, a Gary Player.
Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me. One time I was with Payne Stewart. You've done more with golfers than John has.
Yeah.
Way more.
Show.
Yeah.
Way more.
You know, and the saddest part for me was I had never, Payne Stewart used to always invite me to come walk with his family during a golf tournament. And I was finally getting ready to do it. I was driving from Texas Tech to Dallas for Byron Nelson.
And that's when
my wife called me. She said, you need to hear what's going on. I'm like, no, I'm driving. And she goes, there's something wrong with Payne Stewart's plane. And that's when it crashed.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You were going to the tournament to hang with his family.
Yeah, to hang.
Go wow.
Wow. Weekend. Wow.
And Robert Fraley told me that. I kept Robert Fraley's message on my phone for a long, long time. He had called me that morning a couple days before. He said, "Hey, you going to be in town in Dallas scouting?" I said, "Yeah, I'm gonna go down to the I'll meet you in Byron Nelson." I told my wife, "I'm gonna go that to the Byron Nelson on Thursday, Friday, then I'm gonna come home." And you know, the rest is history.
Yeah.
It was a weird day.
What an awful story. 8:42 ESPN. 97.5 and 92.5. Reed, we'll get you in on the other side. 713, you got anything for Zoe? You're more than welcome. Alonzo Highsmith with us in studio here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Don't go anywhere. All right, welcome back here at 8:46 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We got Alonzo Highsmith in studio.
All right, they're saying you got to talk into the. So Twitch is saying you got, and Twitter is saying you got to talk into the mic. Yeah.
Okay.
But for some reason, we got to set up where you have to constantly, like in our radio show, you constantly have to move side to side. Yeah, I wish we were more in a little bit of a circle.
Yeah, right.
Right? More inclusive, as Brian Decker once said.
Let's get Reed in here.
Wish I won the lotto.
He's got it. I got some questions for you about the playoffs coming up. Reed, what's going on?
Akeem at Lifetime Sugarland, he plays pickup there or whatever. And I actually went up to him like a straight fanboy and asked him if I could hold him and he could dream shake me. And he was actually really cool about it and laughed and did it. So that was worth going up to him. And Andre Johnson, I was sitting there at HEB at the damn fish place or whatever, and he was standing there with me, and we just started talking. I mean, and by the end of it, I asked him if he would mind taking a picture, and you could kind of see he kind of like, yeah. So I told him, I'm not really worried about it, man. I appreciate the time, and walked off. And he ended up coming and finding me in the store and telling me, like, no, let's go ahead and get that picture. And we ended up taking a picture, and I ended up being a good deal. So to me, it's like, go for it, man. If you see him, but be polite. You know, you read how they are. You can tell they're aggravated or irritated. Leave them alone. But if they're in a good mood, why not? That was it.
My mom sees Andre Johnson in HEB all the time. She always tells me. I'm like, well, go say hi to him. She said, okay, I'm going to do it one day.
you get uncomfortable when people... I noticed we were at Damaris the other day, and hey, Zoe, my husband loved you. He died or whatever. And
you get uncomfortable. When has Alonzo been uncomfortable?
Well, not and he just doesn't like. I don't think he likes the accolades. I don't think he likes people.
We can talk.
No, I know.
John, what is your thing when you see Alonzo? There's Alonzo right there.
No, I've just never been. You know, I like people and I like joking around. I've always been one of those type people that. I've never seen a difference in people. Like, I don't know the difference between Michael Jordan, other than he's a great basketball player.
Really?
And John Granato.
Was that how you, because of how you came up?
That's how I came. Exactly. All the random stuff.
Right.
I've just been around it my whole life. And I have as much fun talking to John as I would Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's not, I've never been.
All right, hold on. Yeah. Let's play this game. All right. John versus Louis C.K.
Who?
The comedian Louis C.K.
I love comedians. But you know what? Comedians.
Okay, John versus Eddie Murphy. John. Who would you rather talk to?
John.
Eddie okay. Murphy.
John versus Tom Brady.
Sorry, John. Get out of here.
You can actually learn something.
Yeah.
All right, I got some questions.
It's not bad to lose to Tom.
We got Zoe in here, so let's get some. Because they were on the show before us, they were going, do you believe or not believe in these teams? The Cincinnati Bengals. A Super Bowl playoff team?
I think
possible?
That's a dangerous team.
I've been a Bengal fan for the last 2 years with Joe Burrow.
I know you've been a Bengals fan. Do you think that they can make a run to the Super Bowl?
I think in today's football, the way it is, you don't know who's going to be missing for a game.
Mm-hmm.
I think anything's possible. I don't think home field advantage means much anymore.
But they got a good running back. Football. A multitude of receivers, and a quarterback who knows how to spread the wealth.
But their offensive line, he's been sacked 51 times.
It is what it is. They still score points.
If Cincinnati protects the quarterback and they don't turn the ball over, they can beat anybody in football.
They can, and that's what they do, but they also lose to people
matchup's probably more important to them than maybe anyone else.
Right. Yeah.
But the games they've lost, it was all turnovers. You know, when they lost to
– Yeah.
When they lost to the Cleveland Browns, the first play of the game was a 90-yard ball that went off the receiver's hands and the cornerback ran it away. If you look at their losses, it's been all turnovers.
Yeah. Buffalo Bills.
I mean, heck of a football team, good football coach. Yeah, I mean, they're a good team.
Super Bowl team.
Yeah. In the AFC, I think there's seven teams that could go to Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's wide open.
It's wide open.
Yeah.
Well, so is the – hey, could you see the Rams going to the Super Bowl? Could you see the Packers going to the Super Bowl? Could you see Tampa going to the Super Bowl? Can you see the Colts going to the Super Bowl? Yes.
How about New England?
I don't know.
That's another wild card team. I don't know if I can see New England. Who's going to be the other one? Probably not Chargers or Raiders. Probably not them.
No.
So you have legitimately – can you see the Titans going?
They're the one seed. Okay. They've beaten all good teams this year.
And if Derrick Henry comes back and they start running football again,
Deontay Foreman's been really good, by the way.
He's helped out for sure, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Henry's different. Henry can make you alter what you do defensively and open things up. Because they got A.J. Brown back now. Yep. Julio Jones is back. Like, you're probably right. If Derrick Henry can come back, that's a lot to come back from.
The thing that's weird about pro football is that I don't think home field advantage means as much as it used to, and a good team that can run the football, play good defense. They always say defense and running the ball travels well, and if you can do that, and if you can get to the quarterback with four people, you're gonna have a chance to win.
That's right. That's how you beat Brady.
Yeah,
get to the quarterback with four people.
You got to be able to rush four. And now the one team everyone's glad might not make the playoffs is the Saints. Because the Saints are they more
dangerous than the 49ers?
I'd rather play the 49ers.
Would you really?
Yeah, because the Saints defense is pretty good.
It's funny because that's what the average fan thinks of offense.
That's how they beat Tampa.
Yeah, the average fan thinks of offense, and you're talking about defense. When I start thinking, well, New Orleans really gave problems to Aaron Rodgers. They gave problems to Mac Jones. They gave him problems to Tom Brady. Like, it's true.
But are they good enough offensively?
Well, that's going to be the issue. But with Kamara and Taysom Hill, they could
in one game with
a good defense. I mean, things happen. I don't know if you remember the year the Oilers went to the playoffs against the San Diego Chargers, and Vernon Perry had four interceptions,
and that was with Giff Nielsen.
I mean, exactly. Yeah. I mean, those things happen in playoff football. I mean, we were 15-1 in Green Bay 1 year, and it looked like nobody could beat us, and we got knocked out in the first round.
The Eagles with the third.
That was the NFC Championship game.
Was this the Giants?
This was the Giants. This was the year after we won the Super Bowl. We were 15-1.
And that was the Giants, and Eli had
he was having a terrible year. Exactly.
And then he went on to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he went on to win. They knocked us out of the playoffs.
Yeah. He stunk that year and wanted. That's why that guy's not a Hall of Famer. Golly. He stunk the whole year and all of a sudden he pulls a Super Bowl out of his ass.
I think he'll eventually get
in. He won two Super Bowls.
Andre Johnson's going to get there too, by the way.
You think so?
You know, I look at Isaac Bruce's stats because I was making a comp of Isaac Bruce to this kid, Chris Olave, I watched at Ohio State. Really smooth wide receiver. I went and looked at Isaac Bruce's stats. You know, Isaac Bruce had double-digit touchdowns one time in his career.
Well, I think the guy I think if Terrell Owens is in, Isaac Holt, Torrey Holt.
Yeah, Torrey Holt.
Torrey Holt's got to be in the Hall of Fame.
Got to be.
I mean, you look at his numbers.
Holt's got to be in.
Yeah, Holt's got to be in. You look at his numbers. You forget how good he was.
Yeah.
I mean.
What about Andre?
Oh, Andre's going to get in. What Andre did on a team that didn't have a quarterback. I mean, it's not.
I appreciate him even more.
You appreciate him even more.
Well, and that's one of the reasons Isaac Bruce is in because at that time was there that much passing?
That's what I think. Is I think he benefited from greatest show on turf in an era where it was the beginning of the wide open offense.
And I think that you know the thing about Andre Johnson that's unfortunate is he never got the opportunity to play in an AFC championship or go to the Super Bowl. But he's one of the all time great people in the league.
Mm-hmm.
I think unfortunately he should be part of the Texans organization. You know that. You know, he's an icon. He's a gentleman. He's respected. He doesn't say a lot, but when he says something, it means something.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Andre Johnson is a tremendous ambassador. Now, I don't mean an ambassador where he's going around shaking people's hands. I think Andre Johnson should be part of an organization.
Well, when you look at what you think of when you think Texans now,
mm-hmm.
you'd much rather have people think of Andre Johnson.
Yeah.
Like, in other words, when Andre Johnson came out and made comments about Jack Easterby, that's why it raised so many eyebrows. Because Andre doesn't say a whole lot, and for him to come out and make that comment, that was a really big deal. But would you rather have how you think of the Texans right now, or would you rather have the Andre Johnson era Texans as you're feeling? Because that was a totally different vibe when Andre Johnson was there. You felt like we got a dude here, and no matter who you throw across from him, Andre Johnson is going to. You know, is going to be. He was pretty rare too.
Yeah, he was a dominant. He was a dominant
rare
player.
Physical specimen.
Rare physical specimen.
All right, before you go, all this stuff. It looks like Russell Wilson. It looks like everybody's made up. Everybody's.
I keep saying this. I mean, it's the Tom Brady effect. You know, I don't think Russell's going anywhere. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going anywhere. David Carr's not going anywhere. Where are you going to get a quarterback?
Yeah.
It's easy to say get rid of a guy, but so would you rather have an off year Tom Brady or Scott Tolzien at quarterback?
why is that my choice?
Well, I'm just saying.
You get what you get.
I mean, people say you just get rid of quarterbacks. Okay, well, that's okay. Well, who are you going to get?
Yeah.
I mean,
Stay too long? Did Ben stay too long?
No. I don't think he stayed too long. I think he had some injuries and those type of things slowed him down. But I think Ben was a great competitor. He is part of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
He is.
When you think of the Pittsburgh Steelers, you think he won two Super Bowls, been to three, I think.
Yeah.
And I mean, he was Big Ben. I mean, I remember we played him. He's dueled Aaron Rodgers, threw for more yards against Aaron. I mean, Big Ben's been in some big games and he'll go down as one of the all time.
Well, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. Easy. Yeah. I mean, if he's not a Hall of Famer, we got to eliminate like 90% of the other guys.
There's no way Eli gets
it. Yeah, exactly.
Depending. All right, hey Zo, we appreciate it as always. Right. I know you're heading to the ranch, so we appreciate you hanging with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 98.5.
It's not my ranch.
No.
Headed to the ranch.
Headed out to his ranch. That's it.
Yeah, right. 2 acres.
Missouri
City.
Missouri City ranch.
City, right? Yeah, I got the whole golf course.
A lot of people wouldn't know. You've got the same house you bought when you were at the Oilers.
I've been in the same house forever.
You are not going to be on that show called Broke, where athletes who just throw money at fish tanks with sharks and stuff like that.
No. You're
the one who taught me years ago. Buy a used car and you just run that car until it's done.
I mean, it's all about being content in life and what you think you need for you. You know what I mean? I mean, I've never been impressed with jewelry and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, it didn't mean anything
to
me.
You also had an agent that wouldn't give you your money, too.
That's true.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Wait, tell the story. One time he gave you a big check. You went to Vegas.
Yeah, I got a $17,000 check from Adidas.
Uh-huh.
I wore Adidas my first year. And my agent was like, well, you take it. You haven't spent any money on anything. So I said, okay, I'll just go to Vegas. And I knew nothing about gambling or anything. Huh. I turned $17,000 into $110,000.
No way!
I was betting $5,000 a hand. I was betting. I was just people around me. Everyone's cheering. By the time I left Vegas, I had no money to get my car
parking.
I had to call my mom.
You were up $130,000 at one point?
Yeah, I was.
I was.
Oh, my
God.
And it's kind of like in the movie Casino. They made me go back. I was getting ready to leave, and my friends talked me into staying. And I came back. I said, we're going to turn this into $1 million, guys.
Yeah.
Well,
couldn't even get his car out of the parking lot.
I was like,
we're going to fly you back on a private jet. Hey,
but those are the things, you live and learn.
Yep.
And I'll never forget, and I'm open about stuff. I've made mistakes in life. I'll never forget, like, I didn't know that when you're changing. Finally, my accountant, after a long time, he said, okay, well, you can handle everything now. You're mature enough. Well, I didn't realize when you move and write checks. You remember when people used to write checks?
Yeah.
Well, I used to just write checks. And I moved to Weimar, Texas. And I'll never forget this. I remember, like, I had money in the bank, but I didn't know Merrill Lynch. It was something you had to do with Merrill Lynch. You just couldn't write a check. You had to transfer money over. So I was writing all these checks to Merrill Lynch. And they all came back. I'm like, man, so everywhere
NFL running back.
Exactly. It was like, it was like, so it was a small town. So I go write a check. No one would take a check.
Don't take a check.
I was like, I can't even write a $25 check. And so I called the guy at Merrill Lynch. He goes, yeah, well, you can't, off of that account, you can't write checks. You have to transfer over to another account. I was like, well, I can't go back in this
like
town.
A money market.
I'm money done in this town. And, I'll never forget, one guy called me. One guy said to me, yeah, you're that guy who used to write bad checks.
And, he had a name I was like,
man, that's messed up, man. I was like, but, you know, when you're young, you don't know a lot of things.
Right.
And I used to make mistakes like that all the time. I was like, I'm glad no one writes checks anymore because I wasn't very good.
Just get in the car.
Here's the car. It's always here.
That's Alonzo Highsmith right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. As always, Del, great, man. Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it. Alonzo Highsmith right here. Don't you go anywhere. Lance and I more. We got another hour to go here on the show.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.